Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today, we'll be talking the joy of cooking. In the studio, we have Megan Scott and John Bicker. John, Meg, welcome to Hot Grease.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited. So we have to start off by explaining to people. I call this segment the Joy of Cooking 101. Because I feel like people... John, I'm going to pose this to you. People get so confused. They're like, oh, yeah, I have that book. And then they look down. It's like, well, actually, I have Better Homes and Gardens, or I have another book that's kind of in the same vein. So explain and give us the skinny on the joy of cooking.
Well, it was first published in 1931, self-published by my great-grandmother, Irma. And the family has continued to revise the book and make it better and better. My grandmother, Marion, and then my dad, Ethan, have both kind of guided the book along as it's evolved over the course of the last 82 years. So that's what kind of sets us apart from Better Homes and Gardens, as you said, and a few of the other kind of big names out there, is that it's kind of a family operation, and we still have editorial control, and we're just really dedicated to making it a better book all the time.
Yeah, so Meg, do you get that all the time? People get confused.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, you know, in my family, well, I think in a lot of parts of the South, people don't really, they aren't familiar with the joy of cooking because it's kind of a Midwestern or like even Northeastern book. Like, I think Southern cooks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think they rely quite as much on the joy of cooking. Like, my mother's always been a Southern Living fan.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll tell people, oh, yeah, I work for the Joy of Cooking. And they're like, I think I've heard of that. And, you know, you're just sort of like, wow, because it's kind of an icon. So you expect everyone to know what it is, but not everybody does.
So over the past 83 years, what do you think has been the biggest change in terms of publishing, in particular the Joy of Cooking? We are in 2013, and that was 1933, you said?
31.
Yeah. And then Bob's Merrill published the first readily available copy in 36. I don't know. A lot's changed. I think the publishers can take advantage of authors a little bit less than they did back then.
Ooh, wow. Whoa. It's true, though.
Yeah. I mean, it is. You know, it's hard to fudge the books with digital records these days. And, you know, my grandmother my great-grandmother got into a notoriously bad deal with her publisher at the time, Bob's Merrill. And that's probably the biggest change, is that, you know, we really do have a good working relationship with our publishers now. And
there's a lot more communication between us and the publisher. And we're kind of working alongside one another. And I think another thing that's changed is that, you know, authors are being expected to do a little bit more, whereas publishers once, you know, they would do the marketing, and now we're doing more and more of the marketing, and, you know, we're doing a blog, and we're kind of working on that end. So we're constantly, I mean, it's not just a matter of publishing the book every 10 years. It's like keeping up with everything in between.
Totally. We're going to take a short break, and I want to talk more about you guys, because you guys have a very interesting life. You actually live joyfully every day. So we're gonna take a quick break and come back with more of the joy of cooking. Keep listening.
This song is called Cry For Me by the California Honey Drops on heritageradionetwork.org.
Cry for me. Oh, when they tear me out. Oh, when
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We are chatting the joy of cooking. And in the studio, we have the fourth generation of the joy of cooking. Husband and wife, Meg and John. So I met you guys, what, 3 years ago? You weren't married.
Right.
Down in Oxford, Mississippi. So where are you guys now? Because I feel like you moved from, were you guys living in North Carolina when I met you guys?
No, we had just moved to East Tennessee, about an hour southeast of Knoxville. So we've been living there for the past 2.5 years or so.
How do you like it? How do you like it, John?
Well, the community we're in is very, very tiny. It's hard to call it a town. It's called Citico Beach. Citico Beach, and there is no beach. But it's quite isolated. We've been testing recipes out of the book just to, you know, for preparations for a new edition. And the logistics of it all has been pretty ridiculous. I mean, it's like a 2-hour round trip to go to a decently stocked grocery store.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty much a food desert, which is interesting when you're working for a cookbook because you kind of need access to food.
So are you guys growing your own food there on the homestead?
We have had a garden for the past 2 years. This year we're moving in about a month, so we have not planted a garden. But yeah, that's been a big part of living out there is the ability to have a garden and kind of get to know more about that, because before that I had never had a garden.
And chickens, of course. We started out with a lot of chickens and guinea fowl, but
there are a lot of predators out where we live.
Wow.
So we've had trouble with that, but they were fun while they lasted.
Bobcats, owls, hawks,
bears.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
yeah.
I had an interesting bear attack on my chickens. That was upsetting.
Oh my God, that is crazy. Crazy. Yeah. So any bees? Were you guys doing any, had any beehives?
No, we weren't doing that. I mean, that's something I'm interested in, but I won't be able to do that until we have a place we really want to settle down.
Yeah. So I heard you guys say you're testing recipes for the new edition of Joy of Cooking. Tell me a little bit about, you know, your life. I mean, you get up, you test recipes. What's a day in a life like for the joyful couple?
Well, part of being joyful, I think this is the first time in both of our lives, I think, where we've been able to kind of, you know, determine our own schedule to a certain degree and not been, you know, kind of in the service industry. So, I mean, a day for us really just entails like really looking at blogs and food blogs and just trying to keep up on, you know, what's going on in the food world as best we can where we are. And just to test new recipes and blog about those, and also to kind of revisit some of the older material and just see what if anything needs to be fixed or tweaked or what have you.
Or cut out for the next edition. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a few recipes that we just feel like probably don't need a place in the book anymore. They're kind of outdated or need to be updated. And, you know, some recipes just we need to, you know, whittle them down a little bit to make them more practical.
But of course, you have to be really careful with that because, as my father is willing to attest, you know, I think a few times he had been stopped at book signings and been accosted by, you know, these sweet old ladies, who normally sweet old ladies, who would just give him an earful about, you know, such and such a pie recipe that, you know, why did you cut that? That was my family's favorite.
I know, yeah. Right. So, John, I have to ask you, did you grow up thinking that you would be working on The Joy of Cooking?
You know, it was never pressed upon me at all. I mean, it was always made like kind of optional for me. And, you know, at first I came to it later in life. And I think that's been really good just to get some perspective on things before going into the family business. And, you know, so I don't know. I had pretensions to being an English professor at some point, but
well, that works out, writing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just kind of conducive to cookbook writing as well. So,
and is your father still promoting? Did you say your father? Who did you say, Ethan?
Oh, I'm sorry. My father's name is Ethan.
Okay, is your father still in the mix and still doing signings and recipe testing?
Oh yeah, I think that we're both still kind of in the apprenticeship mode, as it were. I mean, yeah, he writes the checks. He makes it.
He oversees.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay. Gotcha. So we're going to take a short break and to talk more in the kitchen stuff. Talk about blogs, cookbooks that you like, and your collection. So listeners, keep listening. We'll be back talking more with Megan Scott and John Becker, Joy of Cooking.
White Oak Pastures is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, five generations, 145 years. A full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Welcome back to Heart Grease. If you like what you hear, support us more. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and become a member. Also, we have more shows. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and heritageradionetwork.org. You can listen to almost 150 shows right here. All right, folks, we're talking the joy of cooking. So, y'all, I have to ask, your kitchen, your cookbook collection, because I feel like, do you have like 1,000 editions of the joy of cooking and other
yes.
cookbooks? How yeah. Do y'all still buy cookbooks?
Absolutely. Yeah, we like to stay on top of what's coming out. And there are a lot of really great cookbooks right now. A lot of really interesting single subject cookbooks. And
what are some of your favorites that are out?
Well, I'm more of the baker. So I really love the Tartine Bread cookbook.
Yeah.
And, the Bread Bible was kind of my first bread cookbook. And I love that one. But we have so many. And, they're good for different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of inspiring cookbooks out there right now. Just, things that get you to think out of the box. Jerusalem, the recent, I guess it won a James Beard.
Yeah, it just recently won a James Beard. Jerusalem and, they came out with a new book, too. That just, what's the name of it? Anyway.
Well, yeah, the guy's, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name.
Yoto something.
Ottolenghi.
Ottolenghi, yes.
Yeah.
The book is gorgeous. I actually didn't. I was one of those people that I don't jump on bandwagons. I like to, have people on the show or read books that no one's really talking about. So I never got on the Jerusalem bandwagon.
Yeah, I can understand why you might not want to jump on every bandwagon.
Yeah.
It seems like there are plenty.
Well, they change really quickly, and it's hard to stay. It's hard enough to just keep up, barely. But that was, it's a great book, and we love, Middle Eastern style
yeah.
cuisine. And
same here.
Really interesting ingredients that you may not have heard of before, and I love learning new things about different cuisines.
The book is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Speaking of bandwagons and popular things, blogs, food blogs. What are some of your favorites that you have been clicking on for, the past 5+ years and some that are just kind of popping up that you're like, yes, this is it?
Oh, man. You're the blog. You're more of a blog expert than I am.
Well, I really love, I love 101 cookbooks. That's
yes.
one of my favorite ones.
Heidi Swanson is the best.
Yeah, I can't get away from that one. And we click through so many every day. I'm trying to think of another of my favorites.
The Hunt Gather Cook guy, he's really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, Hank Shaw.
Yeah,
he's great. We rarely have the ingredients because it's always hunted or foraged.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
He's always got good substitutes though for if you can't find
right.
It's not going to look the same as the pretty pictures he takes. So.
Yeah.
So what do you think about two new social media phenomenons, Vine and Pinterest?
I don't know about Vine. I have a Pinterest. I love Pinterest.
Yeah, we try to keep the joy of cooking as a Pinterest page, and we try to keep it updated. But, it's really exciting because it does seem to be a little bit more food-centric than Facebook and a little bit more meaningful in some ways. But at the same time, we are constantly trying to decide how much exposure versus effort it's gonna pay off on Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it seems like we're on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest, and I'm starting to be on Instagram. I resisted Instagram for a really long time, and then I was like, "What? Who cares? Whatever." So, it takes a lot of time. It's time consuming, and
If only there was like one submit button where they would just go to every.
Well, you can set that up like that. You can set that up. Speaking of one submit button and the future in social media, would you say that the person who will pick up this new edition that you guys are working on now, is that a 20 or a 30-something? Are you positioning the Joy of Cooking for this new generation who is totally in love with food, almost obsessed with food? I think I'm in that category. I can do that. Is this a book that I will run out and be like, you know what? I need to have this new edition.
Absolutely. We aim to be the ultimate food reference for whoever is in the kitchen, regardless of age, but most especially for people that are adventurous and are looking to try new things and, you know, they come across an ingredient that they don't know very much about. We're there for them. And that's, we really want to, our primary job is education, and we want to keep it that way.
Yeah, we don't really focus on a specific demographic, but we want the book to be accessible to everybody. Mm-hmm. We want it to have a lot, you know, all the basics, that the things that you need, especially if you're just starting out in the kitchen. But we also want it to have things for more experienced cooks that are a little bit more challenging.
So what's next? What's next in terms of, I know you guys are working on a new book. You're on social media. You're tackling that. What's next?
Well, we're thinking about doing some side projects as well. You know, maybe put out some single subject books, but we're still kind of feeling that out. And of course, you know, how to make the entrance into digital. That's really on the agenda for us as well. And how to do so without really, I mean, you know, people expect so much for so little, in terms of, you know,
oh, yeah.
what to find on the internet and whatnot. And, you know, as authors, I mean, publishers are, I think, rightfully a little concerned about that. But authors are or should be.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a constant thing of how much free stuff do you give people?
Right.
How can you turn something that's so valuable and really something that you've spent a lot of times? I mean, with this, as you said, this is a family business. That's been around for 83 years. You don't find that at all, hardly anymore. That's a rarity to find a family business that's been around that long. Yes, how do you remain relevant, change with the time, and still be able to make money so the next 83 years, the legacy continues? Totally.
Yeah, well, the quick answer to that has been doing blogs, and we enjoy doing that. But, you know, we try not to duplicate the content that we already have in the book. But even still, people, we get some interesting emails from people who are like, I don't know, they expect us to be some division of Condé Nast or something. And like we're
they don't know, it's just y'all.
Yeah, they think that the entire book is going to be on the website, and when it's not, they get mad, and we have to explain, like, you know, we can't give away all of our content. I mean, we're a family business, you know, this is how we make our living, you know, and I think people have come to expect to get a lot of free content, but, you know, the content that we create is not cheap to make.
Are you guys doing video? I don't think I saw the video. Are you doing video?
Okay. Not yet.
We're still, like I said, we're apprenticing right now. We're trying to get our feet wet. Radio, for instance, it seems like a nice little mid-step before going into the whole live action.
Podcast is where it's at.
Yeah.
Yeah, people love it. All right, guys. I'm so glad you guys stopped by.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so folks can find you guys, The Joy of Cooking.
Yeah, www.thejoykitchen.com.
The Joy Kitchen.
Or thejoyofcooking.com.
Okay, so they can get you.
Either way.
Either way. And right now, people can find what edition on? I go to used cookbook stores. I see so many different editions, but what's on the shelves right now in print?
Right now, the 75th anniversary edition is on the shelves, 2006 edition. And
is the 75 still on the shelves, too?
I don't think so.
I feel like the 1975 edition may also still be in print.
So I have to ask this. I'm sorry. This is a real important question. So for people who may be listening, and I'm sure you get this email all the time, I just found The Joy of Cooking printed the first edition in such and such year. How much is this worth? What should people do if they have these first edition runs of The Joy of Cooking? What does it mean? Should they hold on to them? Should they wrap them up? put them in the freezer? What should they,
You know, we get these emails and or on Facebook, somebody will say, oh, I have the first edition. But what they really mean is I have the edition that was published in 1963 or 1946. Right. And the first one's a 31, and it's extremely, extremely rare.
Wow.
Very few people own them. We have one copy. If you have one with a dust jacket, it could be worth up to $40,000.
Whoa.
So yeah, wrap it up, ridiculous. Put it in a lockbox somewhere.
So that's the prize. Any other thing? Which other edition is like, you better hold on to that baby?
The 1936 is probably the second rarest. And
well, there's the wartime. The wartime edition is pretty cool. The 1943.
It's got a whole bunch of. It's got like a whole chapter on how to deal with rationing during World War II.
Wow.
So that's pretty. Just historically interesting and still a really good cookbook. You're going to find somewhat kitschy retro type recipes in it, but
very interesting. I think that was the most interesting part. That's amazing. Okay. Yeah. As you can see, y'all, The Joy of Cooking is still a very exciting publication. It's something people should have on your shelves. And not only that, you should be going to the website.
Absolutely.
John, Megan, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
For coming by Hot Grease. We'll see you soon. Chat more soon. And listeners, keep listening. To Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We are live every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.